There is a word from the Lord on today that shall come forth from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews also, a second scripture reference, chapter 11, verse 6. If you're having a problem finding Genesis as the first book in the Bible, Hebrews ought to be easy from now. As always, I'll be reading according to the New American Standard Version. And it reads as follows. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hebrews 11 and 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. If it be the Lord's will, we're going to speak and share for just a moment from our theme and thesis entitled Faith and the Kingdom of Heaven. Faith and the Kingdom of Heaven. The other part of that theme is that you can't have one without the other. Let me say them together. Faith and the Kingdom of Heaven. You can't have one without the other. And we'll be focusing on part four of this series that we have embarked upon here today. Put your seat belts on. Get you a string for your hat. Make sure your shoes are tied. Amen. And so that we can run, good God Almighty, with Jesus today. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you is we're going to be referencing some scripture. I ain't going to have time to wait on you, but I want you to get this word today. So you're going to have to write it down. You're going to have to read it later. You're going to have to listen to it later. But you're going to get a word from heaven today. Genesis 1 and 1 has tripped a whole lot of people up for a long time. We have scientists who are still struggling with Genesis 1. They started out to read the Bible because somebody told them about the true and living God. Somebody told them about our maker and our creator and our sustainer, our provider, our protector, our prosperer. But when they got to Genesis 1, many scientists couldn't even continue to the rest of the scripture because to them, they could not verify or validate or be able to somehow facilitate within their minds that this part was true. I've said for a long time, there's only two words in the earth. There's God's word and there's Satan's word. There's the word of truth and there's a lie. A person's life will be premised and foundation upon one or the other. For a person to believe the Bible, they've got to be intelligent. For a person to believe the Bible, they have to be wise. For a person to believe the Bible, they have to have knowledge. For a person to believe the Bible, they have to have understanding. For a person to read the Bible, there's got to be a reverence and a fear concerning God. Simply said, According to Isaiah 11 and 2, the Holy Spirit has to reveal it to them. The Holy Spirit has to reveal God to them. When Jesus asked Peter, "Who do men say that I am?" Mm-hmm. And folk had given all kinds of answers. When the Lord had asked his disciples, some say you're this prophet, some say you're this one, some say you're that. And then the Lord said, "Who do you say I am?" Peter said, "You are the Christ." Amen. "You are the Messiah." Jesus told him that flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Amen. But my Father in heaven. Amen. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal to a person who God is. Amen. And while we're here, let me put a pin where we're going so that every born again, blood bought, baptized believer can get their praise on, because God has selected you. God has chosen you. God has predestined you. God has preordained for your righteousness that's in Christ Jesus. You couldn't get this on your own. You couldn't get there on your own. You couldn't arrive at this place on your own. God had to do it for you. When Jesus spoke in parables, folk were in a quandary. They couldn't understand it. And Jesus told them it's not for them to know. And then he would reveal it to his disciples. In the beginning, God. Some folk would rather believe that we come from monkeys. You know, I have a question. Where is the monkey man? Oh, somebody like Elder Strange say they get that on the way home. Where is the monkey man? Let me explain. A caterpillar turns into a butterfly. Amen, somebody. And it's easy to designate or to identify the metamorphic a transformation where it's going from one state to another, from caterpillar to butterfly, and it's easy to catch it in its mid-stage. If man comes from monkey, where's the mid-stage? Show me the monkey man. We know that a tadpole, amen somebody, eventually becomes a frog. We can catch between the tadpole stage and the frog stage a midpoint to where there's a... I just need to know where the monkey man is. I think the monkey man is the scientist who would have us to believe that. He's the monkey man. And the truth be told, he needs to stop monkeying around. Amen. Now, it doesn't take much intellect. As a matter of fact, a person has zero intellect to believe that one. But some of the so-called smartest folk in the world would have us to believe this kind of monkey business. Then we got the folk that go along with the Big Bang Theory. They believe that stuff exploded together. Last time I checked, stuff explodes apart. It blows up and blows apart. It don't blow together. I dare you to go get a box of springs and crankshafts and all kinds of stuff and this, that, and the other, computers and machinery and all kinds of stuff and put all anything you want in it to blow it up. Dynamite, TNT, you get whatever you want and see if you can create a rocket by blowing up a bunch of stuff and let it come together and all of a sudden be a rocket ship ready to launch. They'd have a better chance of doing that than to say that an explosion created a human being. In the beginning, and I ain't got time to monkey with these monkey men. The scripture says, in the beginning, God. See, there's some scientists who have come to a point. They arrived at a place where they say, listen, we're not ready to concede that this Bible is true, that the word of God is true. We're not ready to concede that. But what we will do is we'll go part of the way and say that there's something fishy going on in the universe. There's stuff we can't verify, stuff we cannot be able to solidify. There are things we cannot grasp. There's this thing called intelligent design, that there's got to be somebody bigger than man who orchestrated all of this universe, because things work together finer than the finest switch watch. The sun keeps on rising. The moon keeps on shining. The stars keep on twinkling. The creation keeps on singing. Birds keep on humming. Good God Almighty, something's got things right on time.
Amen.
It's intelligent design. We ain't got time to monkey around with monkey men.
Yeah, come on.
So let's just get right to the word.
Okay.
In the beginning, God. As we've said in previous parts of this series, this word God is the word Elohim, and it literally means supreme ruler and supreme judge. Can I stop long enough to tell you why these monkey men want to keep on mucking around? They don't want to be subject to the authority of the king who has created his kingdom. The scripture says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that everything in it is subject to him and his authority.
That's right.
Amen.
And because man don't want to bow down, because he doesn't want to submit, because he does not want to be held accountable, then he'll lie to himself. And everybody else he can get his hands on.
Amen.
Lord have mercy. And act as if he don't know. Jesus would ask the Pharisees and Sadducees questions. And when he asked them one of them difficult ones where they had to do one thing or the other, either acknowledge that he was God and that they were fools, they simply said, we don't have the answer. They play crazy. I got a simple sentence of admonition for you. Don't monkey around with monkey men. Yeah, don't monkey around with monkey men. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Can I give you a sub-theme today?
Okay.
Once again, our theme is that faith and the kingdom of heaven, you can't have one without the other. In other words, simply said that a person cannot enter in and become a part of God's kingdom, nor can they journey through God's kingdom without having faith in God. He says that those who come to him, according to Hebrews 11 and 6, must first believe that he is.
Amen.
You can't monkey around with this thing here. Either he is God or he's not. Either he exists or he does not. Lord have mercy. But he said he got his reward with him.
Amen.
For those in faith who will acknowledge who he is and respond to him as maker and creator,
yes,
of the heavens and the earth. So our sub theme is that faith is reflective of one's belief in God's authority. Faith is reflective of one's belief in God's authority. Yeah, in God's authority. Now watch this here. In Matthew on last week, the 8th chapter, and I'm only going to reference it because we don't have enough time. We got My God, we got some deep digging we're going to do here today. On last week, we came across in Matthew 8, verses 5 through 13, a centurion, soldier. And simply said, he told Jesus that he had a servant that needed healing. And when he told Jesus that he had a servant that needed healing, he told Jesus, Jesus said, okay, Jesus was getting ready to come to his house to heal his servant. And he said, no, Jesus, I don't need you to come to my house. He said, just say the word and my servant will be healed. Somebody needs to know that the word of God, it is travel ready. Oh, somebody got to get that one. Amen. You better write that down. Amen. You better write it down. If you don't write it down on paper, you better write it down in your heart. I said the word of God is travel ready. Amen. The word of the scripture said that God sends his word to heal his people.
That's right.
I said the word of God is travel ready. For the one who believes in God, for the one who has faith in God, the word of God is travel ready.
Amen.
To bless the believer, to bless the one who's ready to act in faith upon the authority of God concerning that which he has said. The centurion told him that all he had to do was send his word. And then he went on to explain to him why that was suffice. He told him, number one, he wasn't worthy. Before he even got to the point, he said, I'm not even worthy for you to come in my house. I'm not worthy. Don't come to my house. I don't have a place well enough, royal enough, beautiful enough, precious enough to receive your presence in my house. Please, don't come to my house because I'm not worthy. It's not holy enough. Don't come to my house. Just send your word and that'll suffice.
Amen.
And then he went on to explain to Jesus why that was enough. He said, I am a man of authority. He said, and I tell one man to go and he goes. I tell another one to come and he comes. He says, you only have to speak the word and my servant will be healed because I understand authority. What he was telling Jesus is that I recognize you as supreme ruler and supreme judge. I recognize you as the one who rules and reigns supreme in and over your kingdom. The heavens and the earth belong to thee. All you've got to do is just say the word.
Amen.
And everything in your kingdom, whether it be in the heavens or whether it be in the earth, is subject to your authority.
Amen.
I've got folks subject to my authority, but all of creation is subject to your authority. Just speak the word. Jesus made a statement about this man. He said, I've not found faith this great in all of Israel.
Amen.
On one hand, that is a powerfully profound statement. And on the other hand, it is a powerfully embarrassing statement. What Jesus was saying is that a whole nation of people, a whole nation of people among an entire nation, this man stood alone in the greatness of his faith. That's a profoundly powerful statement. But there's a backside of it. Can I tell you that the word is a two-edged sword?
Amen.
Listen carefully. On the other hand, here's a whole nation of people who have been called by God's name, who are children of God, who refuse to believe God, who refuse to acknowledge God as God, who refuse to trust God as God and be obedient in faith to the word of God. Jesus said, I've not found faith this great in all of Israel. And these folk had several thousand years of walking with God. They had then crossed the Red Sea on dry land. And if that wasn't enough, crossed the Jordan River at flood stage. Somebody hear me today. They had experienced cities crumbling at its core because God spoke a word in Jericho. This was God's people, folk who knew his word, knew his witness, knew his that had his testimony. But yet this man, who had not experienced any of that, who had not walked with God, who had not talked with God, who did not have generations of experience and witness and testimony of the wonders and miraculous powers of God. Good God Almighty. Amen. This man had faith that exceeded their faith. That's profoundly and powerfully embarrassing. Let me put a pin where I'm going. Church of the living God. People of God. Children of the most high God. Of the true and living God. There ought not be anybody on this planet that has any greater peace than us. There ought not be anybody on this planet that has any greater prosperity than us. And while I'm at it, prosperity is more than just money. Amen. Huh? It's the wealth of life, of knowing that God is our provider and that he is our protector, that he is our healer, that he is our sustainer. But the scripture says that a person prospers even as their soul prospers. Yeah. There's nobody's soul who ought to be more prosperous than the children of God. Mm. Nobody's life who ought to reflect more order than the people who are the descendants, who are the heirs, who are the children of the God of all. Our marriages ought not be on the rocks. Our families ought not be in turmoil. Our households ought not be in disruptive destruction. People ought to be looking, not just in the United States, but all over the world. Wow, look among the Christians. The marriage rate is 100%. They don't have, there ain't no divorce rate in the house of God. Look at their track record on health and wealth. My God, look at how prosperous they are. People ought to be looking in wonder. But we've got to believe the word. Amen. We've got to act in faith on the word. Amen. As a community of people, as the children of God, as a collective nation that God has called unto himself, we are a holy nation and a royal priesthood unto the Lord God Most High. When folks see you, they ought to see royalty. Yes. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what your circumstance is. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care whether you're up or down. I don't care whether you're high or low. I don't care whether you're abounding or abasing. Whatever state you find yourself in, therewith they ought to see the contentment and the joy of the Lord, which is your strength.
Amen. Praise God. Lord.
Which is your strength.
Amen.
That's what they ought to see. And see, when folks see that, they want God. They'll be clamoring. They'll be begging you to teach them God.
Amen.
Teach me, Jesus. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
They got this epidemic of foolishness going around. That somehow it's a great evangelistic strategy to be like the world, to look like the world, to act like the world, and be like the world. What if the world, you can't beat the world being the world. The world already got the world. They need Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, if you sing like them, if you dress like them, if you do this like them, they'll be more subject to listen to you. Listen, idiot. Jesus did not fashion himself to try to act like a Pharisee or a Sadducee. Nor to try to, he didn't go around sinning so that folk could listen to him talk to him about not sinning. Can I help somebody today? Matthew 15th chapter, we ain't got time here. Help me, Jesus. Matthew the 15th chapter, just a few pages over from Matthew 8. Praise God. Start at the 21st verse. We're going to read through this one. I told you about the other one. We're going to read through this one. But we got to go quickly.
Oh.
Matthew 15, verse 21. It says this here, according to the New American Standard Version. It says, and Jesus went away from there, referring to the fact that he was in one place and in one city, and he started heading somewhere else. He said that he went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. In other words, he changed his geographic location. Amen. Somebody going to be blessed just with that alone.
That's right.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
One thing Pastor Evans used to teach us all the time. He said, don't go around doing stuff. Can I give you something for free?
Yes.
Can I throw this in for free? Here it is. Pastor Evans, you say, don't go around just starting stuff and doing stuff and expecting God to join you where you at.
Come on.
He said, find out what God is up to and where he's up to it at, and then you get over there. Amen, somebody. You find out where God is at and what he's up to. When there's a move of God, we need to move with him.
Amen.
When the children of Israel were coming out of, Lord have mercy, in bondage in Egypt, when the pillar of cloud moved by day or the pillar of fire by night, it didn't matter what time of day or night, when God moved, they got moving.
Amen.
Can I tell you as a child of God today that when the Lord is moving, you better move with him. Amen. You better move with him. Oh, I just threw that in for free. We got to go on head on. I'm giving away too many freebies. Verse 22. The scripture says, and behold, after he had moved, a Canaanite woman, good God Almighty, found that he had moved there. Lord Jesus. It says here, a Canaanite woman came out from that region and began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me. I'm going to stop right there. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. I got to give you something else for free. I can't tell you. I'm not going to have time to preach this message today because God want to bless y'all too much. I'm just not going to get through. You just have to come back. That's all I can tell you. Here it is. A lot of folk, because I'm going to take my time. We're going to get this right. Huh? I say a lot of folk have made that cry. A lot of folk have cried out and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me. They cried out and say, help, have mercy on me. Help me. But this woman here, she did something that I think we need to get a hold of. She did two powerful things. Number one, she acknowledged God as God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did I tell you that the scripture said that those who come to him must first believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him? Amen, somebody. The King James says those who diligently seek him. Can I tell you, you ought to get in a hurry and stay there until you catch him. Good God Almighty. Huh? Yeah, he says here, she says, have mercy on me, but she didn't stop there. She said, oh, Lord. Mm-hmm. And then she went further. Son of David.
Amen.
Oh, bless Jesus. She said, have mercy on me. Oh, Lord, son of David. Now, listen. There are not a whole lot of folk that gave Jesus, that referenced Jesus in that way. There are but a handful of folks that acknowledged him as the son of David. Because, see, if you read Matthew 1 and you read the lineage, praise God, of Abraham, all throughout the kings of Judah who ruled, and then the scripture gets down of 40, good God Almighty, two generations later. Lord have mercy. And finally they get to a point, and then they say, and then Jesus came on the scene. Amen. Son of David.
Amen.
What that means is, see, is that God is not only God, but that he honors his promises. Because see, God promised David that he would make with him an everlasting covenant. That he would have a descendant that would sit upon his throne,
Amen.
And be an everlasting king.
Amen.
That he would be King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
This woman, good God Almighty, who was not numbered among Israel, who was not numbered among the people of God, as a child of God, this woman called him king.
Amen.
And not just a king, she acknowledged him as the king, the Messiah and the Christ, the Lord God Most High. She said, I'm calling on you in a unique way. I'm calling on you as the king of your kingdom. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I'm calling on you as the maker and the creator of the heavens and the earth.
Yes. Oh.
She can't call him some son of David without calling him Elohim. She can't call him son of David, good God Almighty, without acknowledging him as supreme ruler and supreme authority.
Amen.
Good God Almighty. And supreme judge. She said, oh Lord, son of David, my daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. Lord, have mercy. Verse 23 says, but he did not answer her word. And his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, send her away, for she is shouting out after us. But the scripture said in verse 24, but he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Amen.
Jesus told, I'm only here for my children.
Amen.
Pastor Evans once told a story about this little boy who saw this man and another little boy in the theme park, and he noticed that this man had come from over across the park, and he had gave this little boy tickets and for all of the rides and for all of the food that he wanted to eat in the theme park. And so the little boy went to the man and he said, I need some too. I want some. And the man told him, little boy, you don't understand. The little boy said, I do. I saw you get another little boy some.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but you don't understand, son. He said, I want some too. He said, son. He said, little boy, He said, that boy over there is my son. You are not. Mm. Jesus told the woman, oh, Lord, have mercy. Somebody going to get that one. Do you know that you are children of God? As a blood-bought, born-again, baptized believer, you are a child of God. You are God's anointed. You are God's appointed. You are his heirs within his kingdom, to his kingdom. Do you not know that God will give you anything that you ask in his name according to his authority? His name is that which represents his authority. When you ask according to his will, he said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, according to John 15, for the person who abides in Christ and who the word of Christ abides in, ask according to the word of God and the will of God. God says, I'll give it to you.
Amen.
Whatever you ask. Because we don't ask amiss with wrong motives, we ask according to the word of God. And for God to get the glory and his people to be blessed. The woman was asking Jesus to treat her like a child of the king. And this was Jesus' response. I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But the woman persisted. In verse 25, she says this. But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. There's an exclamation point here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The woman began to get desperate because her plea was not yet been responded to.
Amen.
Had not yet been responded to. And with an emphasis of her desperation, she cried out, help me. Verse 26, and he answered and said, it is not good. Listen to God's response. He said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Wow. At that point in time, a whole lot of people would have chosen those as fight words. That's cussing time. That's walking away time. That's blowing up and telling folk what one thinks time. But this is what this woman did. Verse 27 says, but she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. I'm here to tell you, she was still calling him Lord. She was still calling him supreme ruler and supreme judge.
Amen.
She was still acknowledging him as the king who rules over the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
She said, yeah, you can call me what you want to call me, but I got a right. If it ain't but a crumb, I might not deserve a piece of bread. Somebody gonna get helped in here. But if I can only get a crumb, she say, even the dogs can get a crumb. Call me a dog if you want to, but I at least ought to get a crumb. This is Jesus' response to this woman acknowledging him as Lord and as Master. That word master out of here that's used in this text is the word kurios. It's K-U-R-I-O-S, and it means supreme in authority. I'm here to tell you that she was acknowledging him as Elohim. God Almighty. Yeah, out of the Greek, it means kurios. It means the controller, the one who controls everything. Can I stop long enough to tell you that God is in control of everything and that there's nothing not subject to his authority and his control? Can I stop long enough to tell you that? See, somebody ain't getting this. Somebody ain't getting it. I think I'm going to have to help you. If a person is in need of a healing, mm-hmm. Jesus is in control of healing.
Amen.
And he's in control of sickness.
Amen.
There were people who God healed in Scripture, and there were people who the Lord put sickness upon. As a child of God, see, a person who will say, well, I've heard Christians. I can understand the world, but not the children of God, not Christians. I've heard Christians say, well, you know, I understand all of that, but the doctor told me. Well, they just put the doctor, took the doctor's word over God's word. He's the supreme ruler. He is the controller. There's nothing that he does not have control over. The only question is do we have the faith, to access, his authority to move on our behalf? We said at the beginning of this series that faith is both the card and the currency concerning the kingdom of God. We use the analogy about Sam's wholesale. A person can get in there, but they can't buy anything. It used to be they couldn't even get in without the card. Now they done got smart. They'll let them come in and fill baskets full. But if they don't get the card, amen, somebody, amen, they won't ring them up at the register.
That's right, amen.
Faith in God's kingdom is the card of access to get in the kingdom.
Amen, amen.
Faith is also our currency once we've arrived in the kingdom. And every born-again, blood-bought, baptized believer who has confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is in God's kingdom. Can I stop long enough to tell you that you're not broke? Can I stop long enough to tell you that all you've got to do is believe God and you've got the currency to get your healing? In the natural realm, folk can get the best doctors in the world and still die. They can have all of the money in the world. There have been a whole lot of billionaires would have given all of their fortune if they could have found a doctor who could heal them. Whether they be millionaire or billionaire, but God is telling us, in the kingdom of heaven, our currency can buy what the world's currency can't. Good God Almighty.
Yeah.
It's the currency of faith.
Yes, 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 yes.
In God and his authority. I don't care whether the need is healing, whether it be spiritual, whether it be emotional, whether it be psychological, whether it be physical, whether it be relationally, or whether it be financially. I don't care what your need is or what area healing is needed. God's word rules and reigns over every area and over every sphere and over every aspect in all of the heavens, all of the universe, and throughout the earth. Please hear the word of God today. When the woman responded to Jesus that way and called him curios, called him supreme in authority, Jesus had a statement for her that he had a few chapters ago concerning the centurion sold in the 8th chapter. He said to this woman, there's only two people in all of scripture that God have given this, spoken this statement concerning. Jesus said in verse 28, he said, O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Her daughter was healed at once. Because she not only had faith in God, she had faith in God as supreme ruler. She had faith in God's authority. And the two people in scripture who acknowledge God's authority, God called both of them, acknowledged both of them as people who had great faith.
Great faith.
Oh, children of God, if we'll get wind of this, you better, we better believe God's authority.
Yes. Amen.
See, you got a lot of folk, and I've seen a lot of Christians. I mean, they love God. These people truly love God, but they scared to death of anything that go boo a peep in the night. Anything that happened in life, they scared to death because they don't understand that everything is under his control. Good God Almighty.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Wow. Woo.
Turn with me to Mark, the 9th chapter. We ain't got time, y'all. We got to move here. Y'all got to move with me. Mark, the 9th chapter. We have to move quickly. This message is going to go a little bit longer. We got at least another 10 or 12 minutes. Y'all going to bow with me or y'all going to pray with me? What you going to do? You want me to stop? Y'all want me to quit this thing right now? Just say so. All you got to do is say amen if you want me to quit.
No, keep going.
Oh, well, I ain't hear no amens. Mark, the 9th chapter. Let's start at verse 19. We got to move quickly here. He says, and he answered them and said, O unbelieving generation, and let me give the backdrop on this because we're jumping right in the middle of scripture. You go back and read it during your private time. A man had a son who was demon-possessed. And the disciples, he had asked the disciples to heal his son. This is why Jesus was away. The disciples couldn't heal the man's son. So Jesus came back and he was disappointed in them. And this is what he said concerning them in verse 19. And he answered them and said, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? Do you know? That ought not be said among Christians. These men were walking with Jesus during his lifetime. And he had to ask them a question. How long am I going to have to be with you? How long am I going to have to show you my deity? Reveal to you my power and my might the way you see it with your eyes, witness it in your own life. How long am I going to have to keep doing this before you can realize who I am and the authority that I've given you as my disciples? And I guess the same question can be asked of the church. How long? Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Huh? How long is it going to take for us to understand the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit? The testimony and the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ that he bears and the fact that he has anointed and appointed us, equipped us and trained us, readied us, praise God, for the journeys that we've embarked upon and given us the authority that we need.
That's right.
Amen.
We learned on last week, according to Luke 10 and 19, the scripture said that I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy and nothing shall be able to injure you, according to Luke 10 and 19. God has given us the authority. The same authority that he has, he's given it to us. We've got to learn to walk in that authority, to live in that authority, to function in that authority, to operate in that authority so we can stop being afraid.
Come on, man.
Come on. Of what men say or do.
Come on.
Or what circumstances, life, or situations that may be created in life. Satan is going to be Satan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to say that again. As I say, Satan going to be Satan.
Yes,
he is. Amen. And he'll use anybody or anything that ain't tied down, that ain't connected to God.
Amen.
My.
Our job is to be Christians, to be those who are like Christ. And understand the authority that we have. He asked the question, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? He says, bring him to me. Let me show you again. I done showed you all these times. I done healed all these folks. Let me demonstrate for you another time. And let's see if you get it this time. Amen, somebody. Huh? I got a question on the flow. How many times is God going to have to show you, that he's in control?
Yes.
How many times God going to have to show us as the body of Christ, as the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth?
Yes.
How many times is God going to have to show us that we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world?
Yes. Amen.
That we are the seed of the righteousness of the righteous one, even Christ Jesus. And that we walk in the authority of the Lord God. How long is God going to have to show us before we start walking it out, before we start living it? Verse 20, the scripture says, and they brought the boy to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion. And falling to the ground, he began rolling about, foaming at the mouth. I can see all but 10 of the church that didn't catch out on this one. Gather them from wherever you want in the earth. When the folks start doing that stuff, they say, well, I just left down. You see folk burning rubber. Hey, get that person away from me. They don't want nothing to do with stuff like that. Ain't but about 10% that'll stay, and an even fewer percent that'll be able to stand and speak in authority to bind the works of the enemy.
Yeah.
Now, after he got through falling and rolling about and foaming at the mouth, the scripture said in verse 21 of this ninth chapter of Mark, it says, and he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? He said, from childhood. In other words, been happening a long time. It's a man now. He's been doing it since he's a boy. This demonic spirit's been controlling his life. Verse 22 says, and it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. Can I tell you that Satan is out to steal, kill, and destroy? John 10 and 10 reveals that. It says that he is the enemy is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy in John 10 and 10. Yeah, so he says this spirit was out to destroy him because it's the spirit of Satan. It's a demonic spirit. He says, then the man says this, but if you can, listen to this, but if you can, this man obviously is a total contrast to the centurion soldier in Matthew 8, to the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15. He asks the Lord, if you can do anything about this here. See, Lord, I ain't got time here. I just ain't have time. If you can do anything.
He
He said, take pity on us and help us. If you can do anything now. Jesus said, if you can, there's an exclamation point. In other words, are you crazy?
What you mean?
Are you crazy? Are you blind?
Hallelujah.
If I can, and that's the way a lot of Christians pray. And that's the way a lot of Christians believe. Because that's the way a lot of Christians live. If you can, Lord. Jesus was sorely disappointed with this man. If you can. Lord, if you can, I sure appreciate you helping me with this. What? Elohim, the supreme ruler and judge, the king of heaven and earth. Lord, have me. Psalm 24 said the earth is the Lord's.
Yes.
The fullness thereof, the world and all that's in it.
Hey.
The man asked the Lord, if you can. What planet you been living on, dude? If you can, I didn't say that question like that. Jesus asking that question like that. If you can,
I go.
Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Jesus said to the man, all things are possible to him who believes. He's telling him about the currency of the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
Huh? The verse 24 says, immediately the boy's father cried out and began saying, I do believe. Huh? And then he had enough sense to add something to it, to add a caveat. Help my unbelief. If there's any lacking, if there's any deficiency, if there's anything missing from my faith, Lord, help my unbelief.
Amen.
What a prayer to pray.
Yeah. Real.
Huh? The scripture says in verse 25, and when Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him. Do not enter him again. Oh, Lord, I told y'all I ain't got time. This was supposed to be part three, and I didn't preach part three and part four from this same part of the series. Next week, we're going to have to do part five from this same, because I just don't have time.
Praise God.
If I had time, but I don't have no time. Listen at this. Verse 26 says this. Before I get to 26. He called this a deaf and dumb spirit. Remember earlier we were talking about monkey men?
Yeah.
Who couldn't see God as God, couldn't acknowledge God as God, did not understand God's authority. Going around talking about a man come from monkey and the blimp from being blew up. That's how we got here. All that kind of stuff. That's a deaf and dumb spirit. They obviously not listening, or either their brain just ain't working. It takes a dumb person to fail to acknowledge God as God. The scripture said that only a fool... Only a fool, somebody who is not only dumb, but ignorant, lacking in understanding,
amen,
would dare say that God does not exist. He says, you deaf and dumb spirit, I command you. I want you to hear what he's saying. He's using what? His authority. I command you. Huh? He's exercising his authority. I command you, come out of him. And do not enter him again. That's an important part.
Amen.
See, when we pray to God, we better learn to be specific in our prayers.
Amen.
You should have been coming on Wednesday night so you could have learned something about prayer. We do prayer and leadership training. Pastor Giles has been doing a series on prayer. I wish you could have been helped. Huh?
Amen.
Folk are in dilemmas because they don't know how to pray. Folk are in devastating situations because they not only don't know how to pray, they don't know when to pray, what to pray, or why they're praying. Good God Almighty. Let me keep on going. Verse 26 says, and after crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, he is dead, but Jesus. Can I tell you what to do with your situation? I don't care when, if you ever have one. I said, if you ever have one, can I tell you what to do with it? This situation may exist. These circumstances may exist, but Jesus. But the authority. But the supreme ruler, but the supreme judge, but the king of heaven. The scriptures say, but Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up.
Yeah. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Oh, we need some getting up Christians.
Amen. Amen.
I say we need some getting up Christians.
Need
some getting up believers. We need some getting up folk who belong to God.
Glory, glory.
Huh? Who won't function like they're in a dead state.
Come on now. Come on.
or a deaf and dumb state, as if they never heard the word of God.